Thank you so much for joining me today on Just Praise Him Radio. I'm your host, Linda Lomax, and my job is to inspire you to a closer walk with Christ. Now here's the show.
Hey, YouTubers, Glenda here. Just wanted to bring y'all a quick podcast this week. I'm in my new location, and the Lord has been giving me very, very serious words to put out on the website. And if you follow justpraisehim.today, you've seen some of these. The one that came out yesterday is called Ready for War. And it starts out with, "My children, prepare for the war that is coming to America." The one that came out today, February 9th, is called Everything Changing. And the Lord is talking about in this word, the events that are coming will change everything around you, and they will change you as well. You will choose in this time whether you will walk as a sheep or a goat. When I come to judge the world, your choices will be obvious, and you will receive the reward of the way you yourself have chosen. If you remain as you are, lazy and slothful, your human appetites will lead your choices. But if you allow me to sanctify you and to lead you on paths you would not have chosen for yourself, you can be led by my spirit in these times. Now, that's not the whole world, but it's part of it. And, you know, I was thinking today, sanctification is part of the walk with Jesus. And it's not the easy part. It's the part where you stop doing things that you know the word says are wrong to do, and you allow God to cleanse that part of you so you don't want to do those things anymore. And it's hard sometimes. It's really difficult. Because your flesh wants what it wants, and it wants to keep on doing those things. But if you continue to do them, the Bible says that he who sins is slave to the sin, and that's the truth. Every time you do a sin, you increase the stronghold because you give power to the enemy to have that stronghold stronger and stronger over you. And sanctification in each area that you become sanctified in, that you lay down the sin and you allow God to cleanse you of that and help you with that, each area that you do that in brings a new level of freedom. And it's so much more peaceful a way to live because you don't have all those lusts and those desires pulling on you all the time, you know, dragging you here and there and everywhere. It's a calmer, more sane way to live. If you are caught up in lust or in any other kind of sins, they pull on you all the time. And they interrupt you, and they torment you, for lack of a better word. I don't really know what else to call it but torment. And what I want to talk about today is the fact that judgment is coming to America. This is not a subject most people want to think about. It's not a subject I want to think about any more than you do, but it's a subject we need to think about. There are more words coming out. God's already given me, today is Thursday, February 9th, 2017, and God's already given me words through February 16th. And they're all serious words. Now, every time he gives me a lot of serious words like this, people start unsubscribing because they don't want to look at the words. I understand that. The words are hard for me, too. But here's the thing. If you unsubscribe, that's fine. If you don't read the warnings, that's fine. That's between you and God. If you don't read the warnings, it will not stop the judgments from coming. It will just stop you from knowing and being more up to date with what is coming. So that's up to you. I feel that the hour that we are living in right now is very late. You know, usually God will give me serious words, and then he'll give me some more uplifting, encouraging words in between those. And I'm not getting the uplifting, encouraging words now, y'all. I'm getting only serious. This is what's going down, and you better get ready, and here's what's going on. And I'm kind of going, okay. And, you know, I'll keep putting out the words as long as I'm able to keep putting out the words. But I want to talk to you about being ready for what's coming, I guess is the way to put it. You know, I study the word all the time, and I've noticed You know, God is a God of order. He does things a certain way, and he will come back and do things a certain way again. And he will, because that's the way he's chosen to do things. Well, I noticed that there's kind of a pattern when God is bringing judgment on a nation. And so I wanted to talk about that a little bit. When the Lord sent judgment on Jerusalem and destroyed his own temple in 70 AD, the first thing that I've noticed that God usually does is he tells an intercessor what he's going to do. Well, he did. He told Jesus. Jesus is the intercessor. He is the ultimate intercessor. I'm going to read you the scriptures as I talk about these so you know where they're at. This one's in Matthew chapter 24, starting in verse 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings to the temple of the temple. And Jesus said to them, "See you not all these things? Verily I say to you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another that shall not be thrown down." He was talking about the temple being just leveled. And it goes on, and he talks about, you know, what else is coming, you know, hear of wars and rumors of wars, and don't be troubled and all that sort of thing. Nation shall rise against nation. And like I've talked about before, that word nation comes from the word, the Greek word ethnos, which means tribe or race. It means tribe, which can mean a different race. And we're seeing that now. We're seeing great racial unrest in America. I don't know about other nations, so I'm talking about America. If this applies to your nation, pay attention. But in America, it's very pronounced, and it's very sad. Very sad to see it. Another thing that I've noticed that God does when he's about to judge a nation, he tells an intercessor. You know, because if he tells an intercessor can pray. When he told Jonah, when he was going to judge Nineveh, you know, Jonah went and preached and repentance to the people. And the people repented. In that case, they repented, and he didn't have to rain down judgment on them. That's the only story I can think of where it came out that way. But the Lord also sends messengers, and he warns. So before the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 AD, he told Jeremiah, and he told Ezekiel. And if you read those two books in the Bible, you'll read the things that the Lord spoke to them and what he said he was going to do and how it all turned out. And he did exactly what he said he was going to do. The Lord is sending judgment on the U.S. Now, what he's told me, and I believe he's told other seers as well, is that the judgments cannot be turned back at this point because there wasn't enough repentance to turn them back. So the judgments are set. What we can pray for and still get is more mercy, maybe a little window of time to get more people saved, that sort of thing. You know, pray for our loved ones to be saved and that sort of thing. The time that we have left between now and the time that the judgments fall is our time to work for the kingdom, intercede for our lost loved ones, and make sure that our lives are right and ready to be judged, okay? If you know intercessors, talk to them and ask them what the Lord has shown them, because a lot of them have seen visions that they just don't talk about it. Or the Lord has spoken things to them and they don't talk about it very much because that's not, you know, what they do. They intercede. But the Lord will show them or tell them things to intercede for. He will give them specific things that he wants them to pray. My mother was an intercessor. She was a very strong intercessor. The judgment will also be coming on other nations. The Lord said, "This is the time for me to judge the nations." So it's not going to be just the U.S. I'm talking more about the U.S. because obviously that's where I live. And also because whatever happens to the U.S. is going to affect other countries, a lot of other countries. I don't know if it affects every other country, but probably a lot of them. But if you talk to intercessors, ask them what they've seen. Ask them what the Lord has spoken to them. You might be surprised. And if you look at other prophetic words, which I try not to do, I do get on a site called Z3 News and answer comments to words because they post a lot of the words the Lord gives me. And I just get on there and answer some of the comments or people say something to me and I'll answer them back. But I don't go in there to read the other words because I don't want to know what other people have seen because I don't want to have any filters when he's showing me stuff. The Lord has been sending many messengers, both human and angelic, to warn the U.S. for decades now. Decades. You can research this on the internet. Time is running out. Okay, now let's talk about this pattern, because this is one of the benefits of reading Bible stories and reading the Bible every day. You will start to notice things. You'll go, hey, I never saw this in that scripture before, or I didn't notice that he did this the same way here as he did it somewhere else. You learn about God's personality. You learn about how he does things. And it will help you to understand how he's going to do things now. Okay, let's look at the story of Noah for an example. Because, you know, the flood was judgment. Number one, God told an intercessor. Genesis 6:13, and God said to Noah, the end of all flesh has come before me, for the earth is filled with violence through them, and behold, I will destroy them with the earth. Number two, God sends messengers. Let me get to this scripture so I can read it to y'all. I don't have all these marked because there's too many of them to mark. Second Peter 2:5. And the verse before, verse 4, I'll read you part of that. For if God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved to judgment. That's verse 4. And spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Noah was the messenger. He preached the warning of the coming flood the whole time he was building the ark. I think that Noah was probably a compassionate person. And I believe that's why when him and his family got into the ark and all the animals were in there, God himself sealed the door. Because Noah, his heart probably broke for the people that were screaming outside wanting to get in the ark, and he would have wanted to open the door. But that wasn't the Lord's way. You know, the Lord had sent the warning. They didn't listen. That was on them. Noah preached the warnings, but people continued to be violent and perverse and do what they wanted to do, just like in Sodom and Gomorrah. So there is a pattern that we're starting to see of what God does when a nation's about to be judged. So let's look at Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 18. Genesis 18:20, God tells an intercessor. And the Lord said, because the cry of Sodom and Gomorrah is great and because their sin is very grievous. So the Lord was telling Abraham. And there came two angels to Sodom at evening, and Lot sat in the gate of Sodom, and Lot, seeing them, rose up to meet them, and he bowed himself with his face toward the ground. The angels were sent as warnings. So God told an intercessor, and he sent someone to give the warnings, okay? Warning number one, Genesis 19:11. And they smote them, the men that were at the door of the house, with blindness. These were the men that were saying, send the angels out that we may know them, okay? So the angels smote the men and caused them to be blind. That was warning number one. Hey, there's something supernatural going on here, and you're messing up, all right? That was the first warning. The second warning is, I believe, in verses 13 and 14. For we will destroy this place because the cry of them is waxed great before the face of the Lord, and the Lord has sent us to destroy it. And Lot went out and spoke to his sons-in-law, which married his daughters, and said, up, get you out of this place, for the Lord will destroy this city. But he seemed as one that mocked to his sons-in-law. His sons-in-law didn't believe him. They did not believe the warning. They were less than 24 hours from death, and they were not heeding the warning. And the third warning, I believe, is in Genesis 19:17. And it came to pass, when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for your life, and look not behind you, neither stay you in all the plain. Escape to the mountain, lest you be consumed. So warning after warning after warning, okay? And these weren't given to all the people, but the warnings were there. the guys that were struck blind, they knew that something supernatural was going on there. I'm sure they told other people what happened. I was reading, let me see if I can find the name of the site that I was reading on. I wrote it down someplace and then maybe lost it. I don't know. I think it's called arkdiscovery.com, but it's Ron Wyatt's archaeological discoveries. He discovered the site of the five cities of Sodom and Gomorrah. And I almost cried when I saw this part. I was watching a video online that they have on that site. And it said they also discovered a cremated bone fragment, and the bone inside was cooked until it had turned white. ArkDiscovery.com, that's the site. And, you know, the flood of Noah's day had just happened in 2350 BC, and already here God's having to do this to Sodom and Gomorrah in 2065, so about 300 years apart, give or take. I'm sure that the Lord must sit up in heaven and shake his head, thinking, are they ever going to get this right? But in Sodom and Gomorrah, because it's such a clear picture of judgment, it talks about it in Genesis chapter, well, it starts talking about it, I think, in chapter 12. Abraham and Lot had too big of herds, and they had to split and go different ways. But anyway, I don't think I have the right scripture reference for that. But Lot chose the area of Sodom and Gomorrah. He looked out over the plains of like Jordan or something, and they were all green. And he said, okay, I'll take this side. He chose the area of Sodom and Gomorrah based on how it looked. The pain of the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah is still speaking today from the ashes in that place. It was discovered in 1985 by Ron Wyatt and his team, and they found round balls of brimstone, and they found rocks where little round balls of brimstone had penetrated the rock, and they took samples of all the stuff, and they took it back and tested it in a lab, and when they tested it, I'm trying to find where, one of the things that they saw at the sites where they, when they were taking the brimstone, is they saw what was called thermal ionization. It was like little scrolly looking things in the rock and all the layers of the rock. And the rock, they could touch it and it was just ash. It would just fall apart. And they said that was thermal ionization, showing that it had been heated to 6,000 degrees Fahrenheit. My mind can't even comprehend that level of heat. It won't wrap around that. And, you know, God takes no pleasure in that. He takes no pleasure at all in that. And it says, so I'm going to read you the scripture. It says that in, he is a merciful God. He prefers mercy to judgment any day, but he is going to keep his word. Ezekiel 33:11, say to them, as I live, says the Lord God, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn you from your evil ways. For why will you die, O house of Israel? Josephus, the historian. I don't know if y'all ever read anything in the books of Josephus. It's really interesting. It's kind of dry reading because it's just historical accounts. But he wrote about that, you know, they could still see where the destruction had happened to Sodom and Gomorrah, those five cities. He wrote about that. And they said in Ron Wyatt's video, they said that when you drive there, they're actually spread out. I always thought it was just two cities next together, but it's actually five. I guess it's kind of like our cities. You know, we might have like Dallas, and then we have all these little cities around it. But it's actually kind of spread out there where it happened. Nothing grows there now. Everything was destroyed. The people, hopefully the Lord spoke to the animals and they left, but nothing grows there. Nothing. It's just barren. Just all this flaky ash rock stuff. brimstone, if you look up the definition, is sulfur. Ron Wyatt took samples of the little round balls of brimstone that were embedded in these like boulder things. And they took them back to the lab and they tested them. And it was found to be 98% sulfur. 98%. Which is unlike any other sulfur found on Earth, okay, which proves that it's of divine origin. It's pure cooked sulfur. And some people try to say, oh, that's from a volcanic event or whatever, but the sulfur that comes from volcanoes is crystalline in form, and it's only 40% sulfur. So it's not from a volcano. This is scientific proof that the biblical story of the divine destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah is true. It is fact. The evidence is still here on the earth. That should give us pause. It should make us stop and say, is my heart right with God? Is my life right with God? Am I ready? Because when the destruction comes on America and on other nations, the Lord told me in that one word, there would be nations that were destroyed in one day. One day, y'all. One day. So any of us could be 24 hours from checking out, which we're all fine with. If we're Christians, you walk close to Jesus, you want out of here anyway. But we need to realize Sodom and Gomorrah was really destroyed by the Lord, like he said it was in the Bible. Because the Bible's true. And if you're not in a real close walk with Jesus, you may not have come to that conclusion yet, but it's either all true or it's not all true. It's all true. God is a very merciful God. He could not be more merciful. If he gave us what we deserved, none of us would be here. None of us would be here. I would have been gone long ago. But he's not playing with sin. And he's not playing when he says, I'm going to destroy it. I'm going to judge the nations that are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. They're not walking in my ways. They've turned away from me. I'm going to judge them. I'm going to destroy them. You know, I'm going to destroy the wicked. He's not playing when he says that, y'all. He's not playing. He wasn't playing when he said it about Sodom and Gomorrah. He's not playing when he says it about us. He was not playing when he said, I'm sending the flood. He was not playing when he said the temple is going to be destroyed. Jerusalem is going to be destroyed. There won't be one rock left on top of another. He wasn't playing when he said any of that. He's not playing now. Are you ready? Are you ready for war in the streets? Are you ready? Are any of us ready to see people we love killed in front of our eyes? You know, in America, that's hard for us to even fathom because we've not ever had war on our streets here since the Civil War. Are we ready to face the judgment of God? Have you heeded the warnings that God has sent you? Because he's been sending the warnings for decades. Or are you going on with, you know, partying and just doing whatever you feel like doing? And you're like, oh, well, it's not going to happen in my lifetime. A lot of them that were warned thought the same thing. They thought, oh, he's not going to do it while I'm alive. Think very seriously when you're thinking that, where that thought is coming from, because it's not coming from God. Who would want you to think that you had more time than you have? Obviously, Satan. If Jesus comes back in the next 60 seconds, what will he find in your house? What will he find in your heart? The Lord has told me recently, and this is coming out in one of the words. Here you get a sneak preview. We're not waiting for a time further down the road. The time is now. The time of the end is now. And the urgency I feel in my spirit and the seriousness that he speaks these words to me with, I don't really have a word to describe it except to say I'm extremely concerned I am so concerned for everybody I know that is not in the right place where they need to be with God. They're not saved. They're not walking with Him. They're not trying to do right. I am so concerned, because when you see the brimstone coming down out of the sky, it's not the time to repent. You're not going to have time. Okay? You're not going to have time. I am speaking to somebody. Oh, Lord. You are not going to have time. You think there is more time left than there is left. The Lord says there's a man listening to this message or watching this video. And you've believed for some time that you have a lot more time than you have. And you've just been kind of playing and dilly-dallying and getting into immorality and things like that. And the Lord said, your time's coming before other people's time's coming, sir, and you need to get right. You know who you are. You know who you are. The Lord has spoken to intercessors, and He has sent the messengers. If you follow prophetic messages on the internet, the way to tell what God is speaking is when you hear the same thing coming through in multiple messages through multiple people. When I used to read the prophetic messages back in about 2009, when we were in the Great Recession and everybody was just hanging on by their fingernails and it just went on and on and on. We thought it was just never going to end. And so a lot of days I would search the prophetic messages trying to find something to give us some hope. And then I would just make videos of these words and just to try to encourage the other people that I knew on YouTube, because we were all struggling just to believe and keep believing and just not completely have a faith meltdown and lose all our faith at once. And I couldn't lose my faith because I was only getting half enough money to pay my bills. So if I lost my faith, God wasn't going to bring that other half. But I didn't lose my faith, I'm happy to say, although I was terrified and He strengthened my faith a lot in that time. I was scared a lot. He came through every single month and everything was paid. And we got through it. God spoke something to me, and I believe it was in 09. It was in 09 or early 2010. He said something to me that was really frightening when I was praying about the wilderness. And He said, when what's coming gets here, you were going to all wish that I had taken you through a lot more wildernesses. And I said, Lord, I can't even imagine anything so bad that it makes me wish I'd gone through more wildernesses. But what the wilderness does is it builds your faith muscle. And you go in one side a fearful Christian, you come out the other side with some muscle that you can stand on God's word and you can believe for things and you can see things manifest as you're believing for them. That's what the wilderness does for you, but it is a terrifying, terrifying journey. It's like a school of faith, but it's really scary. Anyway, if Jesus came back in the next 60 seconds, are you ready? Have you been playing with God? Have you been thinking that you have a lot more time than you have and you're just doing what you want, and maybe you're acting immorally or maybe you're looking at pornography or you're having an affair or you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing and what you know you're supposed to be doing through the Spirit of the Lord? I want y'all to be right with God when Jesus comes back. I want y'all to be right. I want you to be ready and say, yes, Lord Jesus, come. We're tired of this place. Come on, get us out of here. And if you're really walking right with God and your heart is truly His, you come to a place where you almost hate the world. You don't hate the physical part of the world, but you hate the sin and you hate the evil. And you are, as Lot was, vexed by it, the wickedness. You're vexed by it. It bothers you. It repulses you. If there is sin in your life and it's not repulsing you, ask the Lord to make it repulse you. Because everybody has strongholds and everybody has sins that they have to deal with, even as they're in a Christian walk. And not a lot of people talk about that. I know they don't, but it's the truth. And the thing to do is to keep taking it back to God and asking Him for help and research the scriptures. You know, what does the Bible say about this? Find everything the Bible says about it. Study it and ask for wisdom. And you may not get free for years, but don't give up trying, because God's going to judge your heart. Is your heart that, this is just the way I am. I can't do anything about it. He's going to see that in your heart. But what if you're trying, and every day you're saying, Lord, I still need help with this. Please help me to get free of this. Please help me not to do that or not to have those kind of thoughts or whatever the sin is. Then he's going to look at your heart and he's going to say, that's my child. He or she is really trying to get free. They may not know how to get free, but they're trying to get free. Their heart is for me and to walk right before me. There's a huge difference in those two states of your heart. Everybody has struggles, okay? If we were perfect, we wouldn't need Jesus, all right? It's not even possible for us to be perfect, but it is possible for us to be constantly trying to be perfect. And it is possible for us to be constantly asking God for more help in walking right before him, and that's how we should be. Everybody has struggles. I don't care who you are. I don't care if you've been preaching for 50 years. You've got stuff you struggle with. You may not talk about it, but you've got it because we all have that in our DNA. Okay? Nobody's perfect, but we should be trying. And we really, really should be trying. And y'all, remember what I said about sanctification, giving God the sin and just refusing to do the sin, or if you catch yourself, stop right then. Stop. Lord, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do that, or I didn't mean to think that. Back off from it. Cast down the thought. Do whatever you got to do. And every time, keep doing that to show God you're trying. If you will do what you can do, God will do what he can do. Okay? And then you can get free. But if you don't show any effort, don't expect him to just touch you and go, okay, you're free now. If you're not willing to do something yourself, you should be willing to do your part. If you're not willing to do your part, you're not going to get free. That's not the way that happens. I'm just telling you from experience. Sanctification in any area will help you have more peace and help you not to have to struggle constantly, but you have to do the work. Y'all remember that one scripture I taught in this, I don't know, a month, 6 weeks ago, something like that. It might have been more than that. I forget now the scripture reference, but it's after you have suffered a little while, he will comfort you and establish you. And the Lord showed me what that means is if you will suffer in laying down the sin for a little while, then he will come in with his comfort and he will establish your freedom. Okay? And I wish I could remember where that's at right now. I can't, but you can look it up on Bible Gateway by any of the words in it. I hope that this has been a blessing to y'all. Watch the words that are coming out over the next week. They're very serious. If you unsubscribe, I don't get upset when people unsubscribe because the words that the Lord gives me that are on justpraisehim.today are not for everybody. Not everybody can handle truth. And the Lord's given it to us real straight up right now. And we need to be listening and we need to realize that it is in his mercy that he warns us so we can be ready. If war is coming to America, and it is, and he has told us that it is, then people can die very suddenly, even lots of people at one time. I mean, when there's war, there's shootings, there's usually bombings and stuff like that. And you could be sitting there watching your television 1 minute, and the next minute you're not here anymore. You need to be right with God. This is not time to play is what I'm telling y'all, Lord. This is not time to play. You cannot play with the Lord, okay? You cannot play with him. You cannot play with being right with him. In every one of the times where God judged a nation in the Bible, or like when he judged Sodom and Gomorrah, you know, all these places that he judged, he sent the warnings. There were always mockers. There were always people that are like, yeah, whatever, that's not going to happen. Don't be one of them. Do not be one of those. If you mock when your time of calamity comes, he'll laugh at you. You will have no help. And you will see things and experience things far worse, because for God's children, for those who are trying to do right and trying to walk with him and do the right things, there will be mercy and there will be protection until it's your time to go. But there will be mercy. But if you are a mocker and a scoffer, if you just say, I'm going to do what I want to do, especially if we're fixing to check out, I'm going to do everything I want to do, don't expect mercy. Okay? It's just a little reality check. Be honest with yourself. If you're not going to give God your time now, don't expect him to give you any time then. I hope that this has been a blessing to y'all, and I hope that you will really think about this. This is an extremely serious time. It is a time like no other. And we don't know how many more warnings we're going to get before the bombs just start landing and the stuff just starts going down. Jesus bless you. Thanks for watching. Y'all have a great week.
Thank you so much for tuning in today to hear Just Praise Him Radio. You can contact me by mail at P.O. Box 127, Princeton, Texas 75407, or by email at glendalomax@justpraisehim.today. Just Praise Him Radio is not affiliated with any church, denomination, or nonprofit organization. What is in store for the once great and mighty nation of America in these end times? What is the living God saying to the people of America now? What could possibly be in store for a nation that once trusted in God, but has changed its path from following in the living God's ways to now removing Him from everything and walking the other way? In the book, No Longer Mine, you will find all the messages to America collected in one place in chronological order. No Longer Mine, Messages to an Unrepentant Nation, is now available in print at wingsofprophecy.com in the bookstore tab. Get your copy of No Longer Mine today. You don't have to look far to see. The world around us is constantly changing, often in very unexpected ways. Even those who do not profess a belief in God can see something is amiss. Is worse coming? What is coming to the world for the people of God in these last days? What does God want us doing while we're waiting for His reappearance? Now is the Time contains 217 prophetic messages from the throne room of God, discussing what is coming to America and the world in these end times, along with instructions on what to do to prepare. The Lord God has always warned nations when they were headed for destruction. He has always warned His own people. Are we also being warned? Get your copy of Wings of Prophecy, Now is the Time, the 2015 messages, available in print only through wingsofprophecy.com. Wings of Prophecy, Now is the Time.
Have you ever gone through a time in your life where suddenly it just felt like your whole life was falling apart? I call these experiences the wilderness experiences. Wilderness experiences are a time of great uncertainty and change. There are times when our faith is tried and refined. After many experiences, the Lord spoke to me to write The Wilderness Companion, which is a virtual roadmap through the desert times of your life. Find out why you've been led to the wilderness. Find out what the biggest hindrance is to receiving provision in the wilderness. Find out what the seven temptations of the wilderness are. Drastically cut the time you spend in the wilderness by learning how to partner with the Lord instead of working against Him. Every Christian needs to read The Wilderness Companion. It's by Glenda Lomax, and it's available on Amazon.com or wingsofprophecy.com. Amazon.com, The Wilderness Companion by Glenda Lomax.